Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Guerrilla Position Live.
One night only. The Architect, Seth Rollins. Live in London. But he won't be alone. The man is coming around. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins. One unforgettable night. Guerrilla Position Live. Wednesday, December 11th. Tickets on sale now. GorillaPositionWWE.com for ticket information. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Guerrilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to Guerrilla Position. Thank you very much for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling, so Irish sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. And here we are, it's Monday afternoon, and I'm sat in GPHQ here in central London with rapper, DJ, WWE lifelong fan, the man they call Skillet. How are those skills?
Hey. Today, you don't just call me Skillet.
Oh, God. Go
today
on.
Today, you're going to call me Full House Skillet, because I got a full house in the prediction wards.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I got every match right.
This annoys me to levels you can't even imagine.
I don't know if I should smile or cry.
So, Skillet, nice to have you here. We are, of course, breaking down Clash of Champions.
Absolutely.
2019. The pay-per-view is in the history books from Charlotte, North Carolina. Happened last night on the WWE Network. Before we get into Clash, though, I just want to do a few GP housekeeping things to our lovely, loyal gorillas. As you will have heard in the promo at the top of the show, Guerrilla Position Live has returned. You might have been living under a rock. Maybe they missed this announcement. But if this is the first you've heard of it, tickets are on sale now. Guerrilla Position Live, December the 11th. Just head to GorillaPositionWWE.com to get your ticket to what will be the biggest show we've ever done. Becky Lynch, the still the Raw Women's Champion.
Yep.
And Seth Rollins, still the Universal Champion.
Yep.
Long may this continue. The two biggest stars in WWE right now will be in London for one night only, GP Live at the Indigo at the O2 in central London, Wednesday, December 11th. Very limited VIP tickets still available. So head to GorillaPositionWWE.com to get your tickets now. There's going to be a meet and greet. Get your professional photos taken with both of them. Have a chat. Get an autograph. It's going to be a lot of fun. Or if you just want to get standard show tickets and, you know, come on down and have the best night of your life, it's going to be tremendous. One more time, GorillaPositionWWE.com. And just a few other bits. We really appreciate all your support. GP is going back weekly come October. We're getting bigger and better than ever. The build-up to this show is going to be incredible. We've got some amazing interviews lined up. There's going to be lots of content over the UK tour coming up in November too. So if you don't subscribe already, please do so on iTunes or podcast platforms everywhere. And while you're on iTunes, by the way, if that is your platform of choice, a 5-star rating and a glowing review really helps us out. It's a great free way to support the show. GP skills. I don't know if you realize this. GP is now available on Spotify. And if you now Sorry, you can now play GP on your Amazon device. So if you say, Alexa, play Gorilla Position Podcast, the latest episode comes up.
That's awesome. So we'll say, playing Gorilla Position by James Thilo. And then just be the show to show up.
Yeah. Alexa. So you just have to say.
And then I'll be saying to Alexa, and Skillet, and James Thilo.
Yeah, and then Alexa will go, Skillet is a frying pan utensil.
Yeah.
Often found in the kitchen.
That's right. And they want me able to find me.
Yeah. But anyway, play Gorilla Position Podcast. That's what you need to say. That's it. The latest episode will stream for your listening pleasure. Finally, I will stop in a minute. This is the most amazing way to support us. Please sign up to our mailing list. You'll find a link at the top of our Twitter feed, our Instagram feed, on the information page on Facebook as well, at WBGP. You can find the link there. Follow the link. It just takes 20 seconds. And it just means we can stay in touch with you. It means you will get exclusive content before anybody else. Mm-hmm. It's totally free, and it's a huge help to us behind the scenes. So if you love GP and you want to support us and help us bring the show for free to you every week starting in October, that is the way to do it. Follow the link on our social media and sign up to the Gorilla Position mailing list. Thank you. Right, with that all out of the way, Skills, should we get into Clash?
Yeah, before we do, I'd like to give a random shout out to Perry Saturn.
Right. This has gone down incredibly well.
Thank you.
I put on social media, we are going to edit together a jingle.
Thank you.
Because Skillet's random shout out.
Yep.
So anyone who didn't listen to our Clash preview show on Friday, the show opened with a completely random shout out to Lex Luger.
Yeah, total package.
I thought Skills was about to say something. I think we were talking about GP Live.
I think you were. And you thought I was going to say something profound and relevant.
Something about the success of our podcast and how we're turning into live shows with the biggest stars in WWE. But no, you did a tribute to Lex Luger.
Lex Luger. And today,
Perry Saturn. Talk to me a little bit about Perry Saturn and why he's the shout out of choice today.
One of the best in-ring workers you will ever see, lace up a boots. He was an outstanding worker, in-ring workers. I didn't say a whole full package character of a wrestler. He didn't really have much charisma, did he? But in terms of what he can do in the ring, he was magnificent. His run in ECW with the Eliminators, outstanding. His run in WCW with the Flock, very good. And then he went a bit crazy towards the end of that. And then he got signed to the WWE, joined the Radicals with...
Where it all fell apart.
With Eddie Guerrero and Malenko and Chris Benoit. And and then he had a nice first year run with the Radicals. Second year, he went crazy, started wearing Lugs clothing with the massive furry bucket hats, dyeing his hair, his moustache blonde to look a bit like superstar Billy Graham. He was with Terry Wilson a bit. Then he beat up a jobber and he was given a gimmick, holding Muppy. Terry Wilson.
You said Terry Wilson. I thought, does he mean Tory Wilson?
Sorry, I mixed.
But you actually meant
Terry Runnels.
Terry Runnels. Couldn't have got it more wrong.
Classic.
That is excellent. That is classic Skills. Thank you. That is why I love you.
Thank you. Beat up a jobber, was given the Muppy gimmick for punishment, and he used to fall in love with this mop with a face on it that looked a bit like Wilson from, Castaway. And he would always say things like, you know, cows drink milk out of their udders. You're welcome.
Jeez.
Shout out to Perry Saturn.
Shout out to Perry Saturn. Do we applaud the career of Perry Saturn?
I will.
There you go, Perry. I'll tell you what, and I used to tape trade back in the day. Used to get these VHSs sent to my house of all the ECW pay-per-views. The Eliminator stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
Genuinely.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Kronos and Saturn.
So, so
total good. Total elimination.
So there you go. Editor Simon, that's your duty. You need to start working on a Skillet's random shout out. There you go. You can use that audio and edit together a jingle. So Perry Saturn aside,
right?
Let's talk about Clash of Champions.
Fine.
Now, I was feeling a bit under the weather last night.
Oh.
I had full intentions to stay up until 4 a.m. and watch Clash of Champions.
Right.
But with another busy work ahead of me, busy week at work ahead of me, I thought, and you were on jury service
this morning, yeah, and I'm back there tomorrow.
So I didn't watch it live, and I regret that. Well, I don't regret it, but I wish I could have done because I wanted to live tweet. But I didn't, so therefore I haven't managed to watch the kickoff show. But I know the results, obviously, and I've seen the highlights. Drew Gulak defeated Humberto Carrillo, is how it's pronounced, and Lince Dorado. That was a 10-minute, very nice triple threat match for the Cruiserweight title.
I think Humberto was in control. He was going to do like a 450 splash on Lince Dorado. Gulak grabs him, throws him against the ring post, pins Lince Dorado for the 1-2-3. So we both got that right.
We both predicted Drew Gulak would retain. And then this match, I've got to say, I'm a bit disappointed that this was on the pre-show. AJ Styles defeating and successfully defending his US title against Cedric Alexander. I tweeted the other day, I was so excited for Cedric to have this big pay-per-view moment against AJ. So I was disappointed from that respect. It was a good match. Only it wasn't even 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was very short.
I don't know. I would have preferred to see this on the main show over something like, I've got to say, Miz and Shinsuke.
I agree. AJ ran straight after Cedric when the bell rang. Cedric hit him with a Michinoku driver. Crowd popped for that, thinking maybe that was the 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is how they set the pace. This match is going to be amazing. And then it was a very good, entertaining 4 minutes, but we want to see more. But I guess they did that, so there will be more.
Well, I hope there'll be more.
Yeah.
Because as I've said before, there's something about these two and their styles and their smoothness in the ring. And I reckon they love being in there with each other, so I'd love to see more from them. So AJ, still the US champ. So main show.
And we both got that right too.
Did we? Yes, did we?
Yeah, you said
I thought I said Cedric Alexander.
No, you said AJ.
We should probably write down.
Oh, no, you did say Cedric. I wrote it down.
Oh, did you?
Let me have a look.
Okay, at least
you did say Cedric, but I think you knew deep down it would be AJ. You just said Cedric to be different. Yeah, you did say Cedric, but you knew it was AJ.
So you've got all the notes down there?
Yeah, well, I've got just our predictions because I don't make notes.
No, that's what I mean, predictions.
Yeah.
Skills, I would never expect you to make notes. We had this talk about 3 years ago. I said, if you could come to the recordings with some notes, that'd be really helpful. It hasn't happened once. Has not happened once. And again, that's why I love you, Skills. Give me a high five.
High five.
So, the main show, video promo going into this pay-per-view.
Amazing, right?
Just...
Simon needs a job.
Sex in video form.
Simon needs a job doing that. WWE.
Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm on the case.
Yeah, man.
I'm on the case. Yeah, loved this video package. Just amazing. Really, really loved it. So the opening match was Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman defending their Raw Tag Team Championships against Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. Now, this match, and this was sort of a case throughout a lot of the pay-per-view, I felt like the action was strong enough to make me care about the match because the storyline going in hadn't been that good. I hadn't been that invested. And I was actually watching this match in the first couple of minutes and I was like, to be frank, I don't actually care about who wins this.
Yeah.
But the action was good enough. They told a really nice story. It went nearly 10 minutes. And they won the crowd over. I felt like the crowd were quite hot as the match progressed. So the action was really good, bell to bell. But Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler, Rudolph, funny. They win the gold here.
We both predicted that. We both said that.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Okay. And it sort of made me realize how pointless Seth and Braun's.
But that's the reason why I was complaining, because I knew Seth and Strowman wasn't going to have it for long. So I was like, why take it off the OC? Why do that? And then it got me even more upset when I saw Dolph and Bobby Roode in this tag little mini tournament that was on Raw, because I was thinking, these two are not a tag team. They're obviously going to win this tournament.
The gauntlet match.
Yeah. And they're going to win the titles. This is exactly what I said. But obviously, I think they're going to be a feeder for Street Profits.
So it's... But it doesn't really serve many purposes. If anything, it takes away from certain situations. A, you've got the OC losing the gold when they're on a great streak. They're exactly. Back with AJ. Great run. They're getting TV time. Their characters are able to come out more. We're genuinely, and I know you're very pleased about this, seeing really good stuff with Anderson and Gallows.
Yep.
So not only does it take them out of the tag team title picture and makes them lose the gold for no reason, but also it's sort of, what does it do for Seth and Braun to win the gold and then lose it 2 weeks later?
It's I guess it's to expand on their storyline. So obviously Seth just beat Strowman, but obviously we know how that just ended as well. So I'm confused because now I was thinking Strowman and Seth is gonna have another match at Hell in a Cell or something, but maybe not now.
Well, this is the thing, and I said on the show on Friday, did they do this tag team title run, this very short tag team title run, to add a bit of intrigue and interest into the Seth Braun Strowman Universal title match? Because actually, there was no storyline going into them. And maybe Vince just thought, let's team them, let's give them some gold. And then that gives us an unusual angle for the pay-per-view.
I think you're right. But long term,
it's not done anything for anyone.
Yeah, that's it. And then it's like, and then obviously, we'll give Bobby Roode something to do. Ziggler to do something to do for a little while. They have the goal. They have that on the history books that they've actually won the titles together. They might have maybe a month or two run. Maybe Street Profits will win it in Survivor Series.
Street Profits are absolute megastars.
They are. I love them. I've always loved them since NXT days. I do feel some of the promos are a bit annoying. I'm not going to lie. It's like if I was called up to the main roster, to be honest. They kind of remind me of me. So I do think some of the, you know, in Montez
Ford. You're saying that because you're black?
No, because of how loud they are. It could be very loud and annoying.
And annoying, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah. Now you see it. So I do feel like if I was a wrestler and Vince McMahon signed me to the main roster, he'd be like, yeah, you feel like that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm annoying people. But I love them. I think Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins are, as you said, megastars, especially Montez. If they were able to maybe restrict him being a bit too loud and just keep him really cool like how he was in NXT, you know, do all the sick dancing and the great moves. Yeah, but I think they're going to go far anyway.
I think there's an absolute reason why they are on TV so often. They're on Raw every single week doing these sort of hype promos. And they, while we're talking about them, let's just talk about the segment they did on Clash. It was towards the end of the card, but they were talking about the King of the Ring final match, which obviously, as we record, this is happening tonight between Chad Gable and King Baron Corbin.
100%.
But they were doing this promo, hyping this up, and then King Booker
showed up, which
came
funny.
Up. And I thought it was one of the best backstage promos I've seen in a long time. They were all just trying to stop and not crack up. They were all corpsing because I just thought it was so funny.
It was good. It was good. I think Dawkins forgot some of his lines at one point, and then and Booker had to come back in and say, "Can you dig that, sucker?"
It was just, I thought the timing of it was hilarious. And the fans picked up on the fact that they were all trying not to laugh. And that just added to it.
Yeah.
That added to the humor.
Absolutely.
And actually, when they were so close, so on the verge of cracking up, the fact that they held it together also shows what really good professional performers they are
Very true. Very true.
So very, very strong promo from
I'm looking
guys.
Forward to see what they do with Street Profits because I've had high hopes for them for a long time now. So.
Well, I tell you what, just in terms, I don't know what they would do storyline wise, but just in terms of in-ring bell-to-bell action, Rude and Ziggler versus Street Profits. That's a match right there.
100%. And I think Rude and Ziggler do gel well together as a team.
And I guess if the Street Profits are going to take the gold off anyone, they're going to get the biggest pop taking them off.
Two great workhorses,
But also just Dolph and Rude being the
tag team champions.
Hateable heels as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that would work. Okay, so fun opening to the pay-per-view. Next matchup, Charlotte Flair versus Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champion. This went 3:45.
You know what? I love the ending.
I really like this.
It was classic heel. So 3:45, Bayley mostly getting dominated, right? Bayley mostly getting dominated by Charlotte. She took off the belt, the bottom turnbuckle, smashed Charlotte's face through it, gets the 1-2-3 and just literally grabs the belt and runs out the building. I was like, that is the heel that I want to see. And if Bayley could portray that kind of heel, that kind of Ric Flair-ish, you know, chicken heel, amazing. And we both predicted Bayley as well, so we got that right.
I really like this. I didn't mind at all that it wasn't the clinic it could have been. It wasn't this brilliant, women's world title match. It wasn't the 20-minute you know, a great 20-minute match that it could have been. But I didn't mind that at all, because it pushed on the story. It pushed on the Bayley character, as you say. Her running out with a belt was absolutely amazing. Hilarious. Amazing. I've seen many GIFs and memes about it today. And I thought it just... And also, I loved Charlotte's reaction. Yeah. Like, she was almost smiling.
Yeah.
She had a bit of a bloody nose,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. She respected it. Like, you got me there.
Well, she sort of respected it, but she shook her head in disbelief, and she was like, you know, this isn't over. And I think it's great. I think these two have got good chemistry. I assume it's going to go to Hell in the Cell. Whether or not this feud warrants an actual Hell in the Cell match, I don't know. Probably not. But I'd very happily watch these two again.
I'll tell you after we do a rundown what match does warrant a Hell in a Cell match. I'll get to that in a minute.
Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well,
we'll talk about it.
I know what you're thinking about.
Okay, all right. Intriguing. How was jury service, by the way?
It was good. It's very interesting. I can't talk about the case.
What was the case?
I can't talk about the case.
Go on, you can tell me. It's only me listening.
No. But I'm back there tomorrow. I think I'm back there for the next 10 days. So it's interesting. It's very interesting. The barrister that I have, he's quite boring. so it's hard to kind of stay awake. But yeah.
Well, let's hope he's not a WWE fan listening to Gorilla Position now, because otherwise you're in for hell tomorrow. Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder defeated The New Day. This, to me, was one of the best matches of the night.
Yeah.
I thought this was tag team wrestling at its finest.
And Revival was back to their source, you know, the source that they had in NXT. They were back to that magic that they have. So it was great.
There was a lot of magic, but also there was a great storyline. You know, you expect really good action. I said on the show on Friday to you, I feel like I've seen this match a million times.
Yeah.
But actually, I wasn't thinking about the storyline going into it, the fact that Revival had destroyed Big E and Xavier along with Randy Orton a few weeks ago. So there was all that going into it. So there was a bit of extra seasoning on the story. Big E took a horrendous bump off the apron.
Yep.
He fell backwards. I thought he'd hit the back of his head on the steel steps, which I think luckily just avoided, but he really took a nasty tumble. So there was that moment, and I just felt like it got really heated, really hard hitting, and just a bit gritty and nasty towards the end. Yeah. And that really helped it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's good to see Revival being booked like how they should have been booked when they first initially came to the main roster. But it's fine. These things take time. It's good to see Revival back in the top, and they're now the new tag team champions, which we both predicted, by the way. We both said Revival.
Did we?
Yeah, we both said Revival.
Are you sure it's not James Full House as well?
Nah, you got
all right skills.
I think you already got wrong. You said Cedric already, so.
Oh, yeah. All right, fair enough. But yeah, great match.
It was great. Great match, yeah.
Who next for the Revival?
Good question. On the SmackDown tag team. Oh, not Heavy Machinery, they're already gone. Oh.
What do you mean Heavy Machinery already gone?
I mean, in terms of Revival already had their little feud with Heavy Machinery already.
Okay.
I think they have.
And also, and this was actually news that came in since we last recorded, the draft.
Oh, yeah. So there you go.
So the new draft happening on October the 11th on SmackDown on Fox, obviously, and then carries on through Raw on the 14th of October. So a couple of weeks away, or a few weeks away. Do you think WWE are going to stick to the draft? Do you, you know, because I said yesterday, why have they not done away with this concept? They keep pushing it. I'm happy for them to keep pushing it if they're going to stick with it, and the Raw stars stay on the Raw brand and the SmackDown stars stay on the SmackDown brand, and they don't cross over. And if they do cross over, it has to be so rare, and it has to be like round WrestleMania time.
Yeah.
And then you get those odd appearances, and suddenly it becomes really special.
Yeah.
But what they've been doing recently, I mean, it just has not been in effect at all.
It has not.
Do you think they're going to stick
with
it?
I feel because of the new network deal with Fox, I think they probably will.
That makes a big difference, I think.
Yeah,
doesn't
I think it does. I think Fox will have a lot of say in this now. And I think Fox will probably want to protect their show. And I think they'll probably be like, yeah, Vince, let's just keep it separate. And then, yeah, like you just said.
Vince, let's keep it separate. And if you don't mind, make sure all the biggest stars are in SmackDown.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the network difference is key, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because two shows on the USA network, it's sort of, they all just mold into one, but I think there's going to be a real point of difference.
NXT now. Debuts on in USA this week, isn't it?
It's a busy mob week.
Two hours long?
2 hours long. Well, for the first couple of weeks, the first hour is airing on the USA Network. But then I think from what I've seen on social media, Suits, the drama series, is in its last run of the last couple of episodes.
And then NXT will fill up that void.
Yeah. So for the next 2 weeks, we get the first hour on USA, and then you have to watch the second hour on the WWE Network.
That's interesting.
But then after a couple of weeks, it goes to 2 hours on USA, as I understand.
But I'm assuming you can watch the full 2 hours on the network, regardless.
After the airing, the whole 2 hours becomes available. 24 hours
straight
after,
away. Okay, so we have to watch it on Thursday.
So it's a bit, yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
That's a bit.
Can you stop swearing?
Sorry.
That's so swearing.
Kevin Owens, maybe hopefully he'll be debuting. Coming back, I mean, returning.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well.
With the Undisputed Era.
That is the dream.
Yeah.
That is the stuff dreams are made of. But I mean, we're getting 3 hours of Raw on a Monday, 2 hours of Smackers on a Tuesday.
2 hours.
Oh, sorry. 2 hours of NXT on a Wednesday, and then 2 hours of Smackers on a Friday. So it's going to be
interesting.
Going to be busy.
Yeah, interesting.
Going to be busy. We're still working out. I'm sort of trying to work out what the best day is to drop GP when we return to our weekly format. Because I don't want to miss anything.
I know what you mean.
I was thinking Thursday could be a good day, but actually, that sort of becomes a bit of a preview for SmackDown and a bit late to review the previous episode.
I know what you mean.
So it's a tough one. SmackDown moving to Friday is a bit tough. So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
So we might, maybe we'll just do two shows a week. No, but we won't do that. But yeah, I'd appreciate your feedback, actually, listeners. Get in touch at WWGP on
Sunday
Twitter.
Morning Gorilla Position. Terrible.
Yeah, you try telling Katie that.
Yeah.
You try getting my family on board with that. That's not going to happen. I'd appreciate your feedback. What day would you like to see GP drop? Because as I've just explained, it's a bit of a toughie, that. So all ears to your feedback. Let us know. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, they defeated Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Now, this match was another case of storyline going in, wasn't really interested. Even as the match was starting a few minutes in, I was thinking, quite honestly, I'm not that bothered about who wins. But actually, once again, the action was strong enough to get me invested in this match. I thought the last few sequences in particular were really strong. I thought Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville were looking good.
Yep.
I like Nikki Cross's look. It's now sort of more aligned with Alexa Bliss's look is now a bit more aligned with Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
They're wearing similar colors. And Alexa Bliss had the makeup on, and they just feel like more of a tag team now, which is a good thing. What did you think of this match? What do you think of Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville? Fire and Desire is what
I was going to say. First thing, you were right. They are called Fire and Desire.
Is that what I said on the
you
show?
You said that on the show last
week. Oh, I thought I got it wrong.
You said, I think they're called Fire and Desire. And I was like, I don't know.
I think I called them Fashion and Passion or
no,
something.
No, you said Fire and Desire.
Oh, okay, good.
So first thing, you're right. Second thing, you're wrong. They didn't win. I said the Bliss and
James Full House
Cross will retain. But yes, you're right. I feel like they are now molding well as a tag team. I think they're finally finding their feet together as a tag team. And I think the Fire Desire title actually kind of helped them push more, I feel, to be an actual official tag team. Mm-hmm. I think when they were just like Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, it's like, yeah, we're friends, and but we still want to be very solo. But once you get the title Fire and Desire, I think they're like, okay, let's go forth and actually really push it. They even did a little Eliminator / Undisputed Era finisher.
Yes, they did. Yeah, I really liked that.
And then Nikki Cross, the badass that she is, just took over and won the match with that beautiful swinging suplex of the second rope.
It was
amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's sort of a suplex neck breaker. I don't know what they
Tyson Kidd used to do it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't really know the name of it, but it was a really nice ending.
Swinging neck breaker.
What I noticed about it
suplex
is the
swinging suplex neck breaker.
Let's just keep saying move names. What I liked about it is that Nikki Cross, I don't know if you noticed this, but she really took her time delivering the move, in the not that she sort of prolonged the moment too much or anything like that, but she was really clear to make sure that the positioning was safe.
Yes.
Like, she executed it so well. Go back and watch it. She just takes an extra second to make sure everything's fine before she delivers it.
100%.
And I really loved that. And then at the end of the match, and I don't know if this was like a thank you nod, but as she was... Who did she pin? Was it Sonya?
No, Mandy Rose.
It was Mandy. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. As she was pinning Mandy Rose, she grabbed Mandy's hand and just gave it a little shake. And I don't know if that was her way of saying thank you.
It could be.
Or if it was just a random thing she did during the pin. But I just noticed that.
It could be that. Are you okay? Did I break your neck? could be that.
No, because she took her time. Oh, yeah, she delivered it well.
Yeah.
But no, just a little thing like that. I didn't know if that was a little nice little thing between performers.
Yeah.
Not sure.
It could be.
But that it was an all right match. I think I just even more want to see Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville become even more of an official tag team.
Yeah.
This whole thing of like, I think they do the classic thing where they start with Deville's music and then a few seconds in, Mandy Rose music hits. And it's just, I don't know, it's a bit odd for me. Shinsuke Nakamura, he defeats The Miz in another 9-ish minute match to retain the IC Championship. Sami Zayn.
Doing some great work.
And sporting the Jim Cornette look of the 90s with the old neck brace. Thoughts on this match, thought on Sami Zayn, talk to me, Skills.
I'm loving the Sami Zayn Nakamura pairing. I'm loving it. I think it's the best thing for Nakamura. I think Zayn could actually elevate Nakamura to new heights, maybe main event status again. I think Zayn is doing a tremendous heel work. Him commentating on the match when the match is going on, saying things to unnerve Miz about, oh, you, I think Miz did like an arm drag on Nakamura is like, oh, he did an arm drag. Oh, you're trying to step out your element, son. Trying to do something that you don't normally do. Called him the king of soft style.
Oh yeah.
The king of soft style, Miz, and just doing great things. And then obviously making Nakamura very, very vicious. And obviously, Sami Zayn's annoying comments ringside is making people literally want Miz to win. When Miz hit the skull crushing finale on Nakamura, the crowd popped because they were like, yes, he's gonna win it. And then obviously, Sami Zayn distracted the ref. Nakamura come with those vicious knees to the face. 1, 2, 3. Good match. I enjoyed it. Very enjoyable.
Well, this is what is so genius about Sami Zayn and what he's doing at ringside, because not only does it get Nakamura over as a heel and get him heat in front of the crowd, but also in turn, it gets the babyface over even more.
Exactly.
Because so often
classic old school managerial.
Of course, it is
in wrestling.
It's an art form, and yeah. I think as much as people love The Miz, and as we've spoken about a lot on this show over the last couple of years, Miz is commanding a lot of respect from the fan base because of everything he's done and everything he's achieved. And in certain programs, I feel like it really gets over. It really resonates with people, and fans really are in tune with him and his opponent in the match. And the best example of that is him versus Daniel Bryan. But I do find that in a lot of Miz feuds, it just doesn't connect with an audience. I think he's one of those performers where unless there's a really strong narrative in the middle of it, he struggles a bit. And I was sort of thinking that with this feud with Shinsuke, but the addition of Sami Zayn on the outside just adds so much to it. So much weight to it.
Absolutely.
Does this match, does this feud continue? Miz and Nakamura, or does Nakamura?
Most likely. No, I think it will continue for a little bit more.
Okay.
But then again, who knows? Draft split.
True.
Maybe not.
It's happening in a month, just under a month's time.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks defeats Becky Lynch by disqualification.
By the way, sorry.
Yeah. Predictions, what are we
both
doing?
Both got Nakamura.
Did we?
Yeah.
Excellent. So is the only one I've got wrong?
You got two wrong so far. Cedric and Fire and Desire.
Okay. Fashion and Passion.
Yeah. You got a third one wrong coming up as well.
All right.
You're listening to the number one WWE podcast. It's Gorilla Position.
So... singles match for the Raw Women's Championship. This video package going into this was so good.
Yeah.
I was so into this storyline. Everything that's been happening between Becky and Sasha and also Bayley and Charlotte, I think has been good. For the first time in a long time, possibly even forever, all four of the four horsewomen are doing really good stuff at the same time in storylines that people are actually interested in.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that's right.
It's needed because they dared to change things around. They dared to, you know, when people are asking for a Bayley heel turn and they were refusing to do it and making a die on our ass every week, you got to change things up. This is what they used to do back in the day. I just don't understand why they had to all of a sudden in recent times, like, stick to wrestlers still being a certain way. I've worked with Cena, I guess, but sometimes to make things a bit more interesting, you need to, you know, rejuvenate somebody and give them a heel turn and make them bring out a darker side to them so the fans can really reinvest in them. And like you said, yes, you're right. The Four Horsewomen are back in the top leagues again. It's not just one wrestler here and everybody else is down here and then it rotates. It's everybody back on the top, which they all should be because they're all great.
They're all so good. And I love some of the footage in this video package. We saw the clips from, I think it was the Iron Woman match from, was it NXT TakeOver Respect? I think it was called that.
The Iron Woman match was Respect. Yeah.
Sasha versus Bayley. Yeah. And they had those matches and both talents being handed flowers and stuff at the end of the match. And then you see clips of Becky in the front row applauding. And it just makes you, you know, remember the history between these four, Charlotte included in that, obviously. And isn't it funny, though, that it takes having time off very often to really rejuvenate a career. Like Becky went off and did that film in the UK with Shawn Michaels and Miz. And I think, and I'm sure she'll talk about this at GP Live, Shawn Michaels said to her, when you go back as a star. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a superstar, so go back with that mentality. Mm-hmm. And she did, and look what changed.
Yeah.
And Sasha, again, I don't know if you've watched The Chronicle on the WWE Network.
Yeah, I want to.
It's a weird thing, and I've said this about the Chronicle shows in the past. I love them. I think they're really insightful. You obviously get a glimpse into the superstars' day-to-day life as they're traveling on the road and making towns and all this kind of stuff. And it's building up to this crescendo. In this case, it was Sasha's big return after a five-month hiatus. But some of them I find a bit indulgent, a bit too long. And with this Sasha one, it was a bit strange because she said a lot. And she was talking about her time off and finding herself and being so depressed and being mean to her husband and just in a really bad place and falling out of love of her one big love, which was WWE and pro wrestling. But she didn't really divulge what was wrong with her, why she was stressed and upset and falling out of love with it. Like, I don't know. It just didn't.
That's interesting.
It didn't. For me, it was kind of getting there and it was really getting to the heart of the matter, but then it didn't quite fully explain what the story was.
Do you feel she has solved her problem?
I don't know. I mean, it's a strange thing. I feel like. I feel like maybe she's quite a complicated character. I spent a bit of time with her doing the Channel 4 documentary and I was on the road with her and interviewed her a lot. And I feel like she is quite, maybe insecure is the wrong word, but she doesn't have as much confidence as, you know, the legit boss character. I think she struggles with her confidence a bit.
So every time I've met Sasha, she's been nothing but sweet to me. Very nice.
Oh, she's very sweet.
Very kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Remembers me. Every time I see her, she remembers me and we talk. But I do remember when Ace and I was interviewing her in New York, I believe it was when Ronda Rousey was starting to first come in. That bothered her a lot. I can tell the Ronda Rousey thing really bothered her.
Really?
Yeah, I think she grew to be cool with Ronda and I think they got on and I think she realized Ronda was quite nice and sweet. But yeah, I think that might have pissed her off.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just me speculating. I don't know. That's what the vibe I got from it when we interviewed her.
Well, I think, I mean, from her point of view, she was top billing.
Yeah, exactly.
In that division.
And then you got somebody new coming in.
And then you got somebody new coming in. So, yeah, maybe that was an element to it. But, you know, I strongly suggest people go and watch the Chronicle. And you should watch it. And
I will.
Text me. Let me know your thoughts.
I will.
Because I feel like it was really good. But it was, for what was said, it was a bit too long. Because actually, not a lot was said. She sort of kept repeating the same thing. And it's like, she's loved this since she was 10. but now she's in a really bad place. But you just didn't get to the meat of why she was in that bad place.
Yeah.
And maybe it's there's a lot of stuff that she's not willing to go into on camera.
Of
Absolutely
course.
Fine.
Of course.
Totally fine. But yeah, I don't know. I think maybe the sort of documentary could have been cut down in time a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. But go and watch it. Let me know what you think at WWEGP. The match itself, I thought was great.
Yeah, oh, this match was probably arguably the best match in the card.
This was really,
this was outstanding.
Really solid.
An outstanding match. Crowd was so invested.
Yeah.
I think most of the crowd was on their feet throughout this match. Just a great match. These two, the chemistry that these two had, raining back to, remember their match they had in NXT? That kind of put Becky on the map a bit. Mm. Even though Becky was, people knew about her, but I think they had a match, I think 2015, the Sasha Banks run when she had the title. They had a great match that kind of made people see how great Becky was.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that. We both got this right. We both predicted a DQ.
Did we?
Yep.
I think it was, I sort of think it was perfect, really.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really entertaining match. It was really hard hitting. There was a lot of drama, you know, in the submission holds and the reversals and the crowd noise. You know, as you say, great chemistry, really good storyline going in. It was one of those just rare matches where everything just clicked. And I'm not saying it was flawless.
No.
You know, there were a few little stumbles here on moves here and there. But overall, I thought it was 20 minutes of really solid action, only elevated by the crowd noise. And then the fact that these two, so Becky goes to hit Sasha with a chair. Well, Sasha had tried to hit Becky with a chair previously, I think.
Yeah.
Or even hit her with the chair.
I think she did hit
her. Yeah, when the ref's back was turned. Becky tried to get retribution, tried hitting Sasha. Sasha ducked, and she whacked the ref with the chair. And on WWE.com, it now says that Becky's been fined $10,000.
That storyline, right?
Of course.
Because Sasha retweeted it and says, thank you, WWE. Thank you, Vince McMahon. So I was thinking, why was Sasha doing that? That was real.
Just the fact that you have said that storyline, right? It makes me love you even more. That's brilliant. Yeah, and Kevin Owens is really being fined $100,000.
He's not?
No, he's fired.
He's fired.
But so that was a cool moment. And then once the ref is up, Becky just goes mad on Sasha with some vicious chair shots to the back. Retribution for what Sasha did.
A receipt.
The night, yeah. Payback, as they say, skills. It's very much a bitch.
Yeah.
But I thought this was cool, and I love that Becky just didn't care at this point. She wanted retribution, whacking Sasha as hard as she could with a steel chair. They brawl all through the crowd. They come back. Becky Lynch gets Sasha in a disarmer through the chair. I thought it was great. I thought Becky looked like a star as she was heading up back up the ramp, holding up her belt.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought this match did a lot for Sasha. Really, really good. And unquestionably, this match, because they brawled through the crowd, this will go, lest I forget, Sasha was covered in mustard at one point as well.
When you were fighting by the hot dog stands, right? Yeah.
So she had bright yellow mustard all over her back and in her blue hair. So this match presumably will go to a Hell in a Cell match.
And that's when Sasha will win.
You think she'll win?
Yeah.
You mean Becky's not going to come over for GP Live with her belt?
Neither will Seth.
That's a shame, isn't it?
I know.
That is a shame.
It's probably why they agree to do it.
But I think this could be great, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I can't wait to see that rematch and see more of these women just go at it, really. And I want to see, if I'm honest with you, I want to see some new women be injected to this roster as well, man. To this, I mean,
when you say new women, do you mean call-ups from NXT?
Call-ups, but even just new signings.
Oh, new signings.
I just want to see some new faces, but definitely call-ups. Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to see new faces, not at the moment. I want to see Lacey Evans being pushed to the next level.
But who else is on the roster that you want to see get pushed? Apart from Lacey Evans.
Who else is there? Well, I mean, what's happening with Naomi? She's a great talent.
True, yeah, that's
She's
true.
A great
Naomi.
Talent.
Naomi.
Carmella.
Yeah, Carmella. But Carmella's doing good stuff with Truth.
She is.
Who was interrupted in the women's match, by the way. That was quite funny. And Alexa Bliss tried to pin R-Truth during the women's tag match. So,
let's not forget that.
Yeah,
there were some funny moments actually, and then backstage, R-Truth, before this, R-Truth was posing as a boom operator doing the interview, and then Alexa grabbed the boom, said, R-Truth is on the stage, R-Truth is on the stage, and then loads of people ran after him.
That's pretty funny. Good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
So yes, Carmella is doing all right stuff with R-Truth, but you know she wants to be back in the thick of it.
Of course.
You know, and she's a great talent.
But who else? We need more faces, man. We need more faces in that women's division.
But do we, though?
Yeah.
Until you do substantial stuff with the likes of Lacey Evans, Naomi, Carmella, that's three great talents there to mix it up with Sasha, Becky, Bayley, Charlotte.
You can't overload
the roster too much.
Mine is Shayna Baszler, man.
I mean, listen, I am all up for Shayna Baszler.
Mine needs some Shayna Baszler. Something just needs to be injected. And okay, all right, fair enough. You're right as well. Do something with Asuka. What's going on with Asuka?
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on with Asuka, man? What are they doing? With Carrie Sane, what are they doing?
You know, and this is the thing. I think it's dangerous to bring up more talent.
True, and because someone will get pushed aside.
You've got a loaded roster.
Yeah, true.
But, I mean, re-Shayna Baszler, I would be happy with Shayna Baszler on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, exactly. Sunday.
Exactly.
All week long.
Do something with Ember Moon as well.
Do you know what I mean?
All right. Fair enough. I hear what you're saying.
Should we applaud the Sasha Banks back in the
trash? Yeah.
Really good match. Really, really good match. Loved it. Kofi Kingston defeated Randy Orton to successfully retain the WWE Championship. Did you say this?
I caught this and you said Orton.
Oh, man. I thought Orton and Revival would get all the gold.
I knew Kofi would win.
I thought this was a brilliant match.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It built. It went 20 minutes, over 20 minutes. I felt like the pace and the pressure and the drama all built up beautifully during this match. And I was, do you know what? As much as I would have enjoyed the visual of Randy and Revival having all the gold, I was really pleased to see Kofi return.
Yeah, I know you would be.
Because the thing is, it's a solid, undeniable, clean victory over a massive star. And I think, if anything, it just cements Kofi's legacy even further. People saying, oh, his championship run hasn't been very good.
No, it has been very good.
That's crap.
Yeah, it has been very good.
It's been brilliant.
Has he not surpassed Bruno Sammartino or something? Hasn't he passed?
Shut up.
No, not yet. Not years.
He had the gold for like 3,000 days.
Not really. So there was a stat that was put up. Not in terms of years or anything like that, but the
in terms of what then?
Days.
Oh yeah, because that would make a difference.
I can't remember the stat that came up.
To confirm, Kofi Kingston has been champion for not as many years as Bruno, but not more Bruno. Days.
I don't mean Bruno's initial. Fantastic run that you had for like 8 years or whatever. I don't mean that. There was some sort of stat I can't find now. I'm so upset.
Okay, well, you keep looking. I'll talk about this match.
Yeah.
So I was really pleased to see Kofi defeat Randy Orton. I thought Randy Orton just did the absolute right thing, losing clean to Kofi. I think it adds a lot of weight to Kofi Kingston and his world title run. Like, he won this gold back in April. We were there, WrestleMania, incredible moment. But I feel like it's built and built. I feel like Kofi's character has evolved. I feel like Kofi, as an on-screen performer, has become more three-dimensional. You get not only the comedy of the New Day, but all the serious stuff as well. The fact that his family was brought into it. Yep. He's not just lozzing pancakes into the crowd. You know, also the VT building up to this match, where they kept cutting from the 2009 leg drop onto Orton through the table to the 2019 version.
Amazing.
I thought was so good, so well done. Storyline just at its best. And when WWE gets it right, they get it so right. And I think it's brilliant. And I am all for Kofi holding the gold until the end of the year, until next WrestleMania, I don't know. But a big question to you, Skills, as you frantically search for this fact. Where next for Kofi Kingston? You've got to assume this is because of how it ended, because it was a clean end to a brilliant match. You've got to assume that this is the conclusion of this story.
I believe so.
And unless something happens on SmackDown where Orton viciously attacks Kofi,
no,
it can't go on to Hell in a Cell.
I think Roman's coming after Kofi.
Rowan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Roman's next to be the number one contender.
Sorry, did you say Rowan or Roman?
Rowan.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very possibly.
Only problem with that is that probably actually won't happen because I don't see Kofi dropping a title to Rowan. So what good would that do to Rowan with his recent run? Unless Kofi does drop the ball title to Rowan.
I can't.
Yeah, no, I don't see it.
I don't see that.
I don't see it.
I mean, where's Daniel Bryan? Where does he fit in the picture?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, we're going to see a lot of viciousness. We're going to see a lot of sort of big stunts, a lot of hardcore-esque brutality in the Hell in the Cells. There's a lovely space on that pay-per-view for a brilliant wrestling match. You know, a great wrestling clinic between Kofi and a Daniel Bryan, say, or who else? Who else on SmackDown could? How about this?
Go on.
Chad Gable.
What, that's like just a match?
Kofi Kingston.
Just a match though, right?
Yeah, for the world title of Hell in a Cell. Is that ridiculous?
No, it's not. But Kofi to retain, you mean?
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But just as like a respect, hey, you've won King of the Ring. I will put my title on the line against you. Ali.
That could work.
Ali. Is this the time where he comes back and we get our Kofi and Ali? They haven't had a pay-per-view match yet, right?
No.
You know?
That would be good.
And that's obviously a huge storyline. It takes us all the way back to the beginning of the year, an elimination chamber.
Okay, so here's the stat.
Oh, finally.
Sorry.
I've been filling for 5 minutes,
Did I freaking say, I said thing, didn't I? I said Bruno Sammartino, didn't I?
Yes.
Sorry, I meant Andre. Sorry. Kofi Kingston has more days as WWE champion than Andre the Giant, Kane, Rey Mysterio, Batista, Mankind, Iron Sheik, and Buddy Rogers.
There you go. Not put together.
Combined.
Combined?
Yeah.
All of those guys combined?
That's what Sean Ross says. Sean Ross, Fightful.com.
I met him in Toronto. Good lad.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks. That was a long time to wait.
Yeah, sorry. That was a long delay for nothing. You were stalling really well. You're being nice to me as well. Can you edit this?
I can't edit you. It's impossible to edit you. Idiot.
I don't deserve this.
Not as many years, but more days than Bruno Sammartino. Another classic from the Skillet.
I didn't mean Bruno.
But just quickly, just going back. Kofi.
8 years. I didn't mean Bruno.
Kofi, Hell in a Cell. Not at Hell in a Cell match, but at the pay-per-view, Kofi versus Ali. Do you think that's... Because that's another very good, solid story to tell.
I like that.
Right?
Let's book it.
Because also, it's coming off the back of Randy Orton, and Randy Orton was involved in the Ali thing. I think that is the time. Yeah. At a pay-per-view like Hell in a Cell, you want a pure wrestling clinic, and these two would just put on an absolute masterpiece.
Match. I'm with you.
Absolute
like
masterpiece.
Book it, brother.
Right, match number 10 of the night. Eric Rowan defeats Roman Reigns. It was a no DQ match. This was an arena-wide brawl, lots of fun spots. Again, I had a mild case of thinking, do I care who wins if... By any chance, Eric Rowan doesn't win. That's an absolute disaster because he needs this victory over Roman. But this was a good match. This was like the...
Very good match.
It was like the second or third longest match on the card.
We both predicted it as well. Both got it right. Both said Rowan.
So Rowan wins. So they were fighting up on the stage. They used the jib. Roman at one point got a big metal bar and whacked Eric with it. He then Superman punched him sort of down the ramp. And then Roman is building up for this big spear, this big almighty great spear. Sort of reminded me of the one he hit on Braun Strowman, I think it was. He ran all the way down the ramp and just hit Braun with the most incredible spear. But so he was going for a spear like that, ran down the ramp, and then someone came out of nowhere and booted him in the face, and then that man turned around to camera and it was Luke Harper.
You know what's funny? I was literally watching, I think it was Payback in 2015.
Okay.
And it was Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. And at that time, the Wyatts were all separated. So it was Bray Wyatt by himself.
Right.
He wasn't with the Wyatts at this time. They broke up at this time. And Bray Wyatt won that match by interference by Luke Harper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very
and
interesting.
And you just happened to... You had
I just happened to watch
that.
It the other day.
Oh, wow. What made you go back and watch Payback 2015?
So I've done a thing where I've watched wrestling from the late 80s to now, for the past, since I ever had the network. So I've caught up to 2015 now.
What, watching all the pay-per-views?
Yeah. Wow. From the '80s, from WrestleMania 1 to
what, to all WWE?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, WWE and ECW was in there as well, in the mix. Well, I was in the year by. So I was in a chronological order, just refreshing my memory and watching everything again and just enjoying it again, just watching what I've watched as a kid and haven't watched it for a while. But since I first got the network, that's the first thing I did. Oh, I want to watch all the stuff that I haven't watched in ages. Actually, I was doing chronological order. Wow. So since we've been doing GP from the day one I've met you and all that, back then I was all watching it. So now I'm caught up to 2015.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
Jury service is really interrupting your daily routine, isn't it?
I know.
It's a disaster.
Stupid jury service.
God, respect us.
I don't work.
And this is the thing. You may not realise it, listeners, but Skills is a fountain of knowledge.
I am.
You're an absolute fountain. So, Luke Harper, I mean, we said on the show on Friday.
I can't remember that Bruno Sabatino had the title for 8 years, and I would think that would make sense.
I mean, what's incredible is you've watched this amount of TV, you know, recently, in one ear, out the other. In one ear, out the other. Doesn't remember a thing. Absolutely useless. We were talking on this very show on Friday about sort of how Eric Rowan needs Luke Harper. But we were saying, I don't know if Luke's coming back. It's such a shame. WWE are just keeping him at home. He's under contract.
It wasn't Payback. It was Battleground. Sorry. Keep going.
Doesn't even remember the name.
It was Battleground.
Doesn't even remember the name.
Yeah, as you were saying.
And we were saying that he sort of needs Luke, but Luke is stuck at home. He's under contract, but they're not using him. It's such a shame. Really don't know what's going on. I've said that Luke is such an incredible talent. If WWE are not going to be clever enough to utilize his skills.
You did say that.
He needs to go elsewhere.
You did say that.
And he needs to go to AEW.
You did say that.
However,
they are clever enough to know.
They are. They know what they've got. They brought him back to TV. And I mean, I'm so pleased because I think he's a very, very good and potentially even a main event level talent.
But I feel like he's going to help Rowan become champion.
Champion?
Or be a solidified main eventer, but who knows, maybe it's actually for Luke Harper to come back and be a main eventer.
I think he's so good. Do you remember in the build up to, I think it was WrestleMania 33, mm-hmm, in Orlando, mm-hmm, there was a time when he was getting so over, we thought we were going to get Luke in a world title match. He was I never forget that visual. He was standing on the turnbuckles facing the crowd and they're all going Luke, and he was getting there.
Yeah, he was.
And then they pulled the rug out from under his feet and I didn't get it. But I'm so pleased to see him back. So here he is, aligned once again with Eric Rowan. So whether Roman and these two go into a Hell in a Cell or whether it's Roman versus Luke, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm intrigued and I'm all in for Luke Harper.
Definitely. Same here.
What a talent. And then that takes us to our main event, Universal Championship match, Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, who lost the Raw Tag Championships earlier on in the night. They face off one-on-one. Now, this was a fun main event. It went 11 minutes. I thought the action was really solid. I thought the crowd, for the first few minutes, were very quiet. They really were quiet. And I do think that's because there wasn't really a storyline going into this.
Yeah.
Other than the tag team titles, which they'd lost earlier on in the night,
you
put these two against each other and there's not much there because there's not a strong narrative at the heart of it.
Yeah.
But once again, and this for me anyway, personally, was the theme of the night, the action was good enough to suck you in and make you really excited
for
the match. Because this built and built.
Built.
Table spots everywhere.
Great story action towards the end. Strowman being booked like a monster, every time Seth will hit him with a curb stop, he'll keep kicking out. Seth had to really dig deep and defeat Strowman here. Nice little back and forth. I agree with you. I wasn't really invested in the start myself. I wasn't really invested in this match at all, really. But time and time again, Seth Rollins always proves how great he is, and he'll have a great match with anyone. So had a great match. And that's not a knock on Strowman. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Even if you see something millions of times, oh, here we go again, he still sucks you in.
Seth is the Shawn Michaels of the pack. Put him in there with this era, he's the Shawn Michaels.
100%.
Absolutely anyone, and he will have a great match.
But I've noticed when Seth did finally get the 1-2-3, he got a couple of boos. People starting to get sick of this whole Seth thing. And when Seth was celebrating the ramp, this was funny, actually. I have a confession to make. So when I watched this, and I looked at the seconds and the time that was left, and I was like, oh, Seth's won. Seth was going up the ramp and he put his hands in the air with the belt. I took it off. I said, okay, that's done. It's going to go jury service now. It's getting ready on my way to jury service. I actually was in jury service. I was sitting down. I was told, guys, just wait. We'll call you up when you're needed. So I'm sitting in jury service, just sitting. And I'm scrolling through Twitter. And I see Kenny McIntosh, shout out to Kenny McIntosh, tweet, The Fiend is so precious. Oh, we're so blessed. We're so lucky to have him. This is great. And I said, The Fiend wasn't in Clash of Champions. And then I went back and I thought, let me see the ending again. And then fast forward a little bit. And then I noticed the lights go out, crowd with the crazy pop and that little screeching noise that comes up. Amazing moment.
So I mean, this is brilliant on many levels. Because what I did when I was watching it, is he was holding, he had his hands up in the air, the belt is shining, and he was all happy to have defended the title. Even though they brought up the closing graphic.
That's why I took it off.
And the next on the network.
That's why I took it off.
I noticed there were still 2 minutes left.
Oh, did you?
So I kept watching. So one, I love the fact that you turned it off. B, I love the fact that you're at jury service watching the end of Clash of Champions. That's, I mean, a disaster for whoever's on trial. Knowing your mind is on the end of Clash of Champions is a worrying thought. But what an ending, though.
What a great ending.
I
a needed ending as well. It was needed.
Yeah, exactly. This pay-per-view needed a big ending. The match I thought was really enjoyable. I mean, we can't not mention Braun Strowman doing that splash off the top rope.
Oh, yes, the top rope splash. But he looked like he was about to die and fall off the...
Yeah, I mean, he was...
I was like, he's going to fall off.
He was all over the place. But he kept his balance and hit a brilliant splash.
Very good splash.
Really sold the knee.
Jimmy Snuka style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought he did a great job. And also, he just tables disintegrated. Grating underneath Braun Strowman.
Yeah, just by touching it.
Yeah, he's just sort of lying on it after Seth did the tope through the ropes and pushed him onto the table and the table collapsed. I thought there was a lovely chaos to this main event towards the end, which I really, really enjoyed. I think you're right. They did make Braun look like a monster. The fact that he got hit with three curb stomps?
Three or four.
And then a pedigree.
And a pedigree, oh yeah, let's not forget that.
And you know, it took all that to keep him down. But... where do we go with Strowman? Because he's had a lot of world title matches now and he never wins.
You know what's funny? So we both predicted that Seth was going to win this, but you had a good theory. You said, I feel Seth was going to win by The Fiend interrupting the match and
going
after
Strowman. Yeah.
And I was like, I like that. But no, they went straight for The Fiend for Seth, which I like to.
I just worry
for
Strowman.
Your question.
Yeah. If any listeners who haven't checked out the interview I did with Braun Strowman over SummerSlam weekend, go and check it out on YouTube, youtube.com/GorillaPositionWWE. By the way, for anyone who sits at home listening to this, check this show out on YouTube. We're uploading the podcast to YouTube. Bit of an experiment, but I want to make sure content goes up there regularly. And a lot of people like listening to interviews and like listening to podcasts through their desktop. So people can check out GP, the weekly show, on the YouTube channel. So do that. But for anyone who hasn't seen the Braun Strowman interview, go and check it out on YouTube, youtube.com/GorillaPositionWWE. He talks about how he's just signed a new deal. So he'll be with WWE for another 4 years, guaranteed. And he was talking about he absolutely will be world champ one day and is going to be an incredible moment for him and his fan base. But I just worry how they're going to get there because, you know, he's lost to Brock. He's lost to Roman. He's lost to Seth. Like, in these big world title matches, he loses. And how many more losses can he take and still be billed as the monster?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And you know what? And you've kind of flustered me there. I don't know. I don't know who. I have no idea who can go. I guess it all depends on the brand split. He probably goes SmackDown.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, maybe he goes over to SmackDown and he's the person to dethrone Kofi.
Probably.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a heel turn. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
But I feel like he needs a bit of a change up. He either needs to go into a feud that's very different, very far away from the world title picture, and a more sort of personal vendetta type feud.
Yeah.
You know, because he needs something big, or he goes over to Smackers and goes after after Kofi. Okay, so we get The Fiend. The lights go out when Seth is on the ramp. The crowd go absolutely wild.
Crazy.
Biggest pop of the night.
100%.
Like one of those pops where it gives you goosebumps.
Yep.
Really lovely. The visual of him holding up Seth.
Yeah, amazing. Oh,
so good. Amazing. The lighting is amazing.
That's what I mean. Hits him with the Sister Abigail, put the mandible claw, and you can audible hear him. Seth struggling to breathe,
yeah,
and the fiend, you know, saying things to Seth, and it was such a great. Bray Wyatt is responsible for so many great moments in WWE in recent years, and he's going to be going down as one of the all time greats, man. I can't.
But the thing is, I mean, he
needs to win straight away.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of does, doesn't he?
And squash him. Not Seth. Seth should
is he
not
going to squash my boy.
He has to squash. He squashed Finn. He needs to go full circle.
Yeah, but
he needs to squash. He needs to squash all the talent.
All the universal champs.
There you go.
So at SummerSlam,
he destroyed
the first ever universal champ.
Now he's got the
and
current one.
And then at Hell in a Cell, he's going to destroy the person that beat Finn to become...
Seth?
Hang on.
No.
Oh, no. Finn beat Seth.
Finn beat Seth. Yes, Finn lost it, and then Owens won the title.
Oh, his Owens.
Maybe show up for NXT.
But anyway, I mean, I agree he needs to win the gold. But does he? So many people on Twitter are saying he doesn't need the gold.
He does. He needs the gold. He needs to beat everybody convincingly, and this will be good. Finn Balor should be off TV till WrestleMania. Have Finn off TV. The Fiend is the reason why Finn is no longer on TV. And for Finn to come back and to face his demons, to face his fears,
yeah,
to face a fear, and to Finn to face his fear, come back as the demon and defeat.
So a demon versus the fiend. But the thing is, at WrestleMania, it could be argued whether or not, you know, stylistically, whether or not this match between the ropes would be anything to write home about. Maybe that's a different matter, but talking about marketing a big marquee match at WrestleMania, surely you'd go The Fiend versus The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
But, I mean, whether it's Taker, whether it's The Demon, lots of good, fun, theatrical possibilities.
And then The Fiend squashes The Undertaker?
I don't know.
Okay.
We can talk about that nearer. Yeah. Time. But the point is, it's looking good for The Fiend.
It does.
It's looking
amazing for The Fiend. Yeah, it's working. I'm happy for Bray. It's actually working.
And I don't know if people saw the promo during Clash Champions last night, but the promo for Hell in a Cell where they had the sort of the red barbed wire crawling up the skin of the superstars. That was so eerie and brilliant. Yeah. So I think we could see something really special and really memorable at Hell in a Cell.
I hope so.
It should be good. Okay, let's wrap it up there, Skills. Give Clash of Champions 2019 a rating out of 5 stars, if you don't mind.
3.5.
3.5. Okay, I am going to go... Do you know what? I'm going to go quite low on this.
Okay.
Only because I want more storylines to be... I understand this is one of those sort of themed pay-per-view where every title is on the line and all that. But I feel like there weren't many brilliant stories to lead us into this one. And I think that affected a few of the matches. It certainly sort of affected my concentration during some of the matches. So I'm going to say 2.5. Not because I didn't enjoy a lot of the action, but I want to be invested from start to finish. You know?
Sounds good.
I want to be taken on a ride, and I feel like it wasn't quite up there. But that said, I did really enjoy it.
Awesome.
One thing I will say, though. Oh, what was my point? I had a really good point there. It was about stars, storylines. Yeah, that's it. Talking about a pay-per-view as a whole, it was 3.5 hours again.
It was, wasn't it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing away with this 4-hour thing.
Good stuff.
That is really good.
Good.
Very excited by that. Right, everyone, I hope you enjoy Raw tonight. King of the Ring finals. We'll be back soon. Lots of GP goodness coming your way. We're going back to our weekly shows come October. If you've got any ideas or any preference on when you'd like the show to drop, on what weekday, then let us know. because I'm trying to work that all out into our schedules and work out how we do it. So let us know what you'd prefer. Follow us. Well, Skills, where can people find you on the Twitter?
You could follow me on Twitter, where I tweet more than Bruno Sammartino has in a few years. And that's on Skillet World, SKIWLIT World. And on Instagram is Skillet World 2, SKIWLIT World.
You haven't forgotten that Bruno Sammartino passed away?
I have.
That's a bit of an out of order joke.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Fountain of Knowledge. Completely forgotten that Bruno passed away.
Bruno's one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Great match against...
do you regret that?
Superstar Billy Graham. I do regret that, actually. I totally forgot. That was really bad. Superstar Billy Graham versus Bruno Sammartino. Great match in the Madison Square Garden. Awesome.
I love your skills.
I think Bruno Sammartino was... Superstar Billy Graham defeated Bruno for that title. Okay. And I love you too. Apologies if I offended anybody.
I'll tell you what, we'll take that little soundbite, we'll put it at the end of every single podcast you say. There is nobody like him, ladies and gentlemen. Follow me at James Dealer on Twitter and Instagram, but more importantly, follow the show at WWEGP on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/GorillaPositionWWE. And one more time, if you haven't got your tickets to what is going to be an incredible night, December 11th at the Indigo at the O2 in London, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, my two superstar guests, on stage with me at hashtag WWE GP Live. It's going to be an absolutely incredible night. Get your tickets now if you haven't done so already. Go to GorillaPositionWWE.com. Thanks so much for listening. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We shall see you very, very soon.